Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there and make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades, and with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. So we want to thank C&G for sponsoring the podcast. We really appreciate it. We are really coming down. I think we said it last week, but now we're definitely down the home stretch for basketball. We've got one more set of games coming up, regular season finales Tuesday night, and then we're diving into the district tournament play, and this time it really counts. So let's first talk a little bit about the last week and what we saw, and let's go ahead and hand out the C&G Paving Smooth Operator of the Week. And we're going to give two of those out, and one we want to go ahead and hand out Hannah Shiflett over there at Monticello. Really big week for her.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge game for them on Friday, and they had to sort of win that one to boost their standings and move things around. And it sort of shakes things up because Charlottesville and Western were sort of 1 and 2 pretty close, and now we'll see
how
it shakes
up.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
A huge win for them. And then Hannah Schiff, she's a really nice player for Monticello that brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, she does a lot of the little things. She's also been massively improved against Western. 8 points, but 11 boards, a lot of critical defensive plays. That was an absolute defensive struggle. I think it was 28-26 was the final. Like, no one really got going much offensively. So 8 huge points, 11 boards. And then on senior night a few days before that, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. She's just a very consistent double-double threat for them. That she's going to clean up on the boards. She's gotten faster and stronger, and they've kind of attributed it to it. She's going to play softball at JMU in the next level, and it's very clear the workouts and stuff that she's been putting in that's paying off. She's on that sort of college plan already, trying to get ready for playing for the Dukes, and it's obviously paying off for her in a big way in her other sport as well, in basketball. And she's part of it. I mean, this is a Monticello team that. I just sounded like John Gruden there talking about this team. But they are a squad that right before the beginning of the season lost their head coach. And they had to turn, to Juwan. And she's done a fantastic job of kind of holding them together and helping them find big wins in big games. They have struggled in games where maybe they were the more talented team. But in games where they've had to play up to a team or they've had to, they've come up with big wins. They beat Fluvanna. They beat Western. They've beaten some of these teams that are in the top half of the district. And you got to be excited for, the improvement. They keep getting better every single week. They seem to just be making, really good improvements. They came out, they held Western to just 2 points in the first, quarter. They were forcing turnovers. They were taking advantage of turnovers. They kind of got them flustered, and that was enough to really hold on for the win. So a Monticello team that gets a big boost from Hannah Shiflett, but they've got the Kinlaws who are playing really well. They got a lot of kids that are stepping up for the Mustangs right now.
Yeah, Camille Blaine's another big one for them.
Yeah.
She does a lot of hard work in the paint. I mean, Shiflett, she's a nice 3-point shooter. She can finish underneath the basket. And you brought up the rebounding, grit to her game.
Yeah.
And when you have somebody like that who is sort of, you can put in different defensive positions, she can do a lot of different things. That allows those other players like Blaine, who, I mean, thrives in the paint, you can open up the space for her a little bit there. And I think it takes players like Shiflett on these teams to, you know, to be versatile and to sort of be able to adjust your roster for, because I mean, you're going to play different style teams. When you're playing Albemarle, it's different than when you're playing Louisa or Orange. It's just a, you know, different strategy going on there.
No question about it. We're going to dive more into this Jefferson District girls race in a little bit, but we want to hand out another smooth operator of the week, William Monroe. The boys up there have had some struggles, some up and down times this season, but they got a huge win against Skyline, 77-58 last week. And Alex Kinsey with 24 points and 11 boards in that one. Just a big time performance from the junior. And we're talking about a team that lost everybody from last year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that anybody had more of a roster gut than Monroe. And that was
Cameron
really
McCain, Malik Shackelford, Anthony Terry,
yep.
Jalen Anderson, he transferred over to Tandem. And this, you know, there's no question, the youngest Maynard around has had his, Brett has just been trying to figure out an identity, a pace, you know, just a rebuild in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah, and we saw that in the season debut against Orange when they kicked off the year. Like they knew they had their work cut out for them, that there was going to be you know, some growing pains to deal with this year. And I think they're really starting to get it together. And they've had a nice January. We'll see if they can put together a nice February. But Kinsey's, he's sort of the guy for them at the school right now. He had to take over for Shackelford at quarterback this year. And you're sort of seeing him have to step up on the hardwood as well. And sometimes it takes one of those three-sport kind of athletes.
Yeah, three-sport guy. Does he play baseball too?
Yeah. I mean, that's another young program that had to do a lot of developing there last year. I think they had one senior on that team. So the theme continues for them and sort of all the sports in one calendar year for him. But yeah, it's good for Monroe. I mean, that is a solid basketball school. They do these rebuilds. They've done this before. You know, when it was Mike Maynard as the coach, they've been able to, you know, within a year or two, get back into that deep level of region play. So I will not be surprised if this team, you know, if the end product at the end of the year, you compare it to the game film at the beginning, and it's just two different worlds that you're looking at. I think that's the coaching ability that Brett Maynard has.
So that gives us a easy transition to, I mean, Monroe's a team. We got to talk about region playoff stuff. William Monroe boys look like they're getting in. William Monroe girls, they're definitely getting in. They probably have locked up the one seed in their region tournament at this point. They're the D3 champions in the Northwestern District. The girls are. And, you know, the William Monroe boys, man, just getting in there, making that region, that is a good step in the right direction. Region is working a lot different than it has in the past, where everybody had an all-in conference, and then you advance to the region. Right now, your district play matters, and that takes us into that Jefferson District girls race, where it's already really interesting to see. I mean, you know, we've got Charlottesville and Western are tied right up there at the top, but Fluvanna, Monticello, all those schools are fighting for a spot in the region tournament, and these games are going to matter in a big way.
Yeah, so I think right now the way it sits, teams 1 through 6 in the standings can all shift position.
Wow.
And so that's pretty cool. So Monticello at 5-8, they can slide around a little bit maybe, or more likely it's Powhatan and Albemarle and Fluvanna doing the shuffle there. That's going to be pretty neat to see. But I mean, overall, you look at the balance in the girls' side. Any night,
anybody.
And then we're going to see potentially some games with the region stuff on the line. This puts some juice back into a tournament where, you know, when they realigned on the old conference system, it's sort of lost a little bit of its luster. Now you're going to have a little more, gusto in these things.
From an opinion standpoint, I think it roared back a little bit last year. You had the Louisa and Almar, some good clashes, a Western CHS. Yeah. Some of that stuff was really good on the boys' side, especially. And what Louisa did in the district tournament last year, I think, was a big deal for them. The Louisa girls, that built a lot of confidence for them.
They had never won that before. It meant a lot to them. Yeah.
But like you said, the stakes are just different when you're playing a district tournament for a trophy and no advancement. Like, people are going to play things differently. They're going to play they're going to approach things in a different way. You're trying to stay healthy. You're trying to stay ready for that conference. Now, you got to play well in this district tournament to set the table for yourself when it comes to the region. Some of this stuff is based on PowerPoint. So we're going to be shaking a little bit of this out and kind of learning as we go. I think a lot of people are. There's some tiebreakers already in place where they've already done coin flips ahead of stuff so that athletic directors already know. We're going to be working a lot of stuff out. And we're going to be learning. It took us a couple of years to learn the conference stuff.
Yeah.
And now we're back to square one a little bit. So we're going to be picking up. But the way that we understand it right now, it looks like the Western girls are for sure in. I understand the D3 stuff a little better than I understand anything else. It looks like the Western girls are in. And then Fluvanna and Monticello are fighting for a spot. And whoever gets knocked out of that spot, I think, could maybe still get an at-large bid. That's the way I understand
it. Yeah, you got to sit there and wait and hope.
Yeah, it's an 18 tournament that you're going to look at, and I think that's how it's going to work. But it may actually come down to an elimination game, elimination for Fluvanna and Monticello, whoever gets further in the district tournament, which is pretty interesting because then your matchups can be a little bit different. Fluvanna struggled against Almar, but Monticello seems to have played up against other teams really well. Mm-hmm. So Fluvanna could be the higher seed, but they get an Almar team that's not a great matchup for them. Suddenly things become problematic for
them. Yeah. I mean, if you're Western or Charlottesville sitting at the top of this tournament, you're going to get some interesting competition because you're going to be playing a team that has to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to see that play itself out on the court. I mean, you're going to have just extra grit and hustle. So I think that's pretty cool that the tournament has a little more weight to it now. And certainly on the girls' side, I think that's going to be a really strange tournament. The stranger, the better. you want weird things to happen.
No question.
It's interesting when the storylines don't go as planned. And so we'll look forward to seeing that, if that's how it plays out or it's something else.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that flips you over to the boys' side, where, again, because of the Chris Shelton's heroics last week, we've got a tie atop that district as well.
Yeah, I mean, Almoral got to play Western, they got Louisa, and then Charlottesville. Three tough games in a row like that. That's a pretty tough stretch for them. I think they're quite fortunate to get out of it at 2-1. But yeah, it's between Almoral and Louisa, sort of our 1A and 1B any given night. I don't know who you pick there. Those are two really tough teams. And then after that, Western's always going to be good. They've always find a way to make this tournament interesting. Charlottesville's a team that if Emmanuel Wells and Sam Neal are having their mojo go the right way, that's a rough team to go up against. You know they're going to be just flying at you. They're so scrappy. And, I think sometimes with Charlottesville, it's really what kind of foul situation they're in. Is how good of a Charlottesville team you're going to face. But I don't think anybody wants to play them in the tournament either.
I don't think you want to play Orange, frankly, yep, at this point.
Orange picking up some steam at the end here.
Yeah, they got a big win. Kayshawn Braxton got them going against Charlottesville. I mean, this is not – the Jefferson District is not going to be an easy out for anybody. I mean, it's difficult top to bottom. I think it's strange. I mean, we saw Fluvanna the other night almost pulled one out over Western. Fluvanna is – that's as close. They've been trying to fight to get a district win over the last 2 years, but that's how close the team that's in eighth is, mm-hmm, is to a team that's in third. Like Western, I think that you've got to account for everybody. You've got to come play every night, or you're going to find yourself into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, and I think with the way that Almar and Louisa are playing, that Charlottesville and Western, these other teams, Orange, there's no easy way to win this tournament. You can't, some years we have it in the standings where there's just one team that's way ahead of everybody else. And so you're just hoping not to line up against them until the finals. And this year, I don't think you have that ability. Like in the semifinals, if Albemarle and Louisa take care of business, you're getting a good opponent on either side. I don't think there's an easy path to the championship game. That's going to make for good product. I mean, we're going to be happy with it.
Yeah, when you go with these winter go-to-home games, you just never know who's going to catch fire, who's going to get going and make some noise. But it does look like, at least the way that I understand it, the Western boys are in the region. Again, I understand the D3 stuff a little bit better than anything else, but the Western boys are in the region. I'm sure the Almar boys, the Louisa boys, all those guys are going to get in.
They're going to be fine. They have one-loss teams.
They're all getting in. I think it really just comes down to like where the seeding is going to be, where it's going to shake out. We're going to see that over the next couple of weeks. We're going to learn how some of that's determined and understand the PowerPoints. It looks like it's PowerPoints, and it looks like it's you know, if you're a regular season champion, that's a big deal. I think that it'll be interesting to see whether, you know, Albemarle and Louisa, even though they go into different classes when it comes to the region tournaments, you know, with Class 5 and Class 4 for the Lions, Class 5 for Albemarle, whether they, if they end up tied, if they both get wins on Tuesday night, whether they both count as regular season champions. I don't really know how all that works. And it may actually be determined on whether Albemarle is the higher regular season seed than Orange County, because mm-hmm. that's the only other, you know, division, class five team that's in there. And Louisa certainly would be the class four leader over, I think, the who's the other class four team? Powhatan.
Powhatan
and Charlottesville. Yeah. So they would be ahead of Powhatan and Charlottesville. Yeah, as you can see, we're still trying to get our brains around this a little bit. And it's just a challenge because it's each region seems to be doing things a little bit differently. But mostly you're going to be looking at 8-team single elimination tournaments when that region rolls around. And those aren't, I mean, there's going to be no easy outs in that either. And you're going to see some weird matchups, especially like early on, because you're probably going to see some team that's underseeded that, you know, a local team is maybe overseeded. I mean, you know, or vice versa.
And the Class 5 schools have actually sort of seen that in the previous conference tournaments.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a really sort of underappreciated Halifax team coming in. You know, they didn't have a great record, and they upended the Albemarle boys. And mm-hmm. I mean, that was just sort of a shocker when you looked at the records on paper. But as far as the rosters on the court, you're like, that's a really good team that just played a really tough district schedule, gets sent on the road, and then, you know, takes one of our teams out.
This stuff's the Wild West, man. Yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. And once you get to this level, things just get interesting.
Yeah, and the familiarity thing is that really becomes an issue at this time of year. These teams have, you know, played each other twice in the JD tournament. That's meeting three. There's a lot you can learn from those game films, and you can take a different approach with a team that maybe you didn't have success with before. And you're not going to have that liberty when you go to the region tournament. So this is sort of the last time to really coach things up against your rivals.
Yeah, and if chalk holds up and we see like an Albemarle-Louisa boys final, I mean, complete toss-up either way, because both games, you know, have been – and when the teams were at full strength, Louisa had to have a game winner to get it done at home. And on the girls' side, same thing. Charlottesville Western girls, Western swept it, but, you know, beating a team three times is really difficult. But
on the girls' side, you just don't, like, Albemarle and Monticello easily could upend you. Fluvanna easily upend you in very early in that tournament. So that you got to be careful there.
But we know how important momentum is when you start talking about the basketball postseason. I'm not a huge believer in momentum in general, but I do think that, like, when you get into a role and you get comfortable and you can win games and earn yourself home games, you can earn yourself that advantage, that's a huge piece of the puzzle. And I think that if you can get teams playing confident, playing in an important way, that's, you know, that's why you look at a Western girls team that slipped to Monticello. That's a really tough loss for them because it's going to affect confidence. Now, they've come roaring back from some of the losses that they've had, so maybe you see, you know, a renewed sense, a sort of wake up call situation. So it's going to be fun to see how teams respond to adversity, because you're surely going to see it over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think, like, take the on the boys' side, Albemarle losing to Louisa, I don't think it really affected them all that much. I don't think it's going to matter going forward. That's a team with so much playoff experience already. These guys have been through the dance so many times that they sort of know what it takes to succeed in the playoffs. But for the Louisa boys, I mean, that win is huge. It tells them that this is an experienced Albemarle team, and just a stud in Jaquan Anderson. We can take a team with a player like that down. And it gives them the sort of vote of confidence going into the playoffs when they're going to see teams that have other Jaquan Andersons. It's good to know that you can carry your weight against those guys. I mean, that's a big boost of confidence for them. And so I think that game winds up mattering more in their minds than it would for Albemarle, because it's just not hard for them to hit the reset button.
So a lot of district race stuff going on. Over in the private school side, you've got teams that are starting to close in on the end of their regular season. And Saturday, we've got a huge game. Blue Ridge and Miller locking up again. Miller got the better of them for the first time in 10 games earlier this year at Miller. Now they have to go up to Blue Ridge, and that's a heck of a challenge. It should be a lot of fun to see those teams, as usual, when they lock up.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small gym up there, and you're going to have both. You know, sometimes when the Blue Ridge is playing, the other team doesn't bring a lot in terms of fandom. But you don't have that issue with Miller. So it'll be great to sort of feel like, you know, when these teams are both really good, this rivalry is exceptional. I mean, the play on the floor is amazing, but it's also because you got people just, I mean, literally stacked on the court. There's not much wiggle room in there. So it'll be cool. I think both teams have really gotten better since they first met, and that wasn't that long ago. And Blue Ridge has gotten rolling, playing some really tough teams. Miller's still doing its thing. I think they're the top-ranked team or power pole now, and deservedly so. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, because with Blue Ridge, you also don't know if Darius McGee's going to just drop 40 out of nowhere.
Dude, the last time Miller, it felt like, and you watched the game, you're like, all right, they did a pretty good job against McGee. 25 points. Like, it does, like the guy is so explosive, so tough to handle. It's going to be fun to see what the chess match. That's what Cade Lemke, you know, Blue Ridge's coach, said immediately afterwards. Chess match begins now.
Yeah.
They're going to make some moves. They're going to change some things. We're going to see what Darius McGee brings to the table. You know what he is able to change up and find a way to impact this game. Because I can guarantee you, he is going to try and figure out a way to do it. The guy has outworked people for a long time, and it's a challenge for Miller ahead, you know, coming up, to figure out how to do it, because we're probably headed to two more of these. You got the VIC, you got the state.
And possibly the state tournament. Yeah, I mean, with Miller, it's how much swagger do they still have left from that win?
Yeah.
You know you can do it. Now you got to do it again. You know how hard it was to win that one. Now you got to do it again.
Yeah, the Miller boys have been getting some really good wins. I mean, I just love how the Hyatt kid, when he's on, he's just really tough. And it's really, really hard to argue with Deshaun Wade.
Deshaun Wade's a lot of fun to watch.
Dude, Deshaun Wade, he plays a game with a chip on his shoulder. So does Day-Day Hurd, I think. But Wade is just, he's headed to ECU. He plays a little bit angry. He's a lot of fun to watch. So if you get a chance, I think that game's in the afternoon up there on Saturday. That is certainly some high-quality basketball being played in a big environment, in a loud environment. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Hopefully, we're going to understand a little more about this region stuff when we check in with you next week. But we appreciate you listening and coming along, and check back in with us next week.